and let them have dominion.
The kingdom of God is within people. It's the advancement of the people that is advancement
because
of the kingdom.
Because faith must be backed by
the assignment of this ministry is found from that verse.
You're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogbeli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavenlies.
Steps to make your vision clear and achievable. God has called me to do this. But there is such a thing as clarifying your vision and then setting goals to go from the dream to planning in such a way that you can start living that future now. Christian life requires self-cancellation. Self is the reason many are useless in the hand of God. Self ambition, self, whatever. So Jesus Christ gave up his life for you so that you can live his life for him. That life you were believing, and he gave it to you at the prime of his youth. He didn't give it to you when he has finished enjoying then 98, you know, say, okay, I want to die for the world. That's why the Bible said he was cut off from the land of the living because of the transgression of my people. He sacrificed his life. He said, who shall declare his generation? But the Bible later answered it. He said, a seed will serve him, and that seed will be accounted to him for a generation. He gave his life so that you can now live that life he was supposed to live and embrace the mission he came to bring to the world. But what we have done now, we have given our life to Christ, but we have not given it. We have collected his life, but we are not living for him. You think living for him is going to church and all that? No. There is a mission that brought him here. It's the state of the world. The state of the nations. I always warn people in this training. I said, vision comes first. If you finish collecting the how, the technology, the skills, and you don't get the why, the purpose of this thing, the thing will still turn to sand in your hand. This thing is to launch you into ministry. Stop being afraid of ministry. You are the answer to the world problems now. Stop looking for somebody to rise up. You are the person. So Benjamin Franklin developed a system for planning his life and achieving God. They said he is the most accomplished man since the time of Paul that ever lived. When you read it, you will see there is nothing. He was a statesman. He was a publisher. He was a writer like her. He was into everything. The man did so much. He said he accomplished what takes three lives to do. But there are systems that he discovered that helped him maximize his time, achieve a lot of goals, improve his character, improve his personal life, and all of that. Remember what we said here. Knowledge is very powerful, but when compared with character, character is superior. That doesn't mean that the man that has character will be ignorant and succeed, no. But I mean that everyone that has knowledge develops character that combined will take him far much further than knowledge could. You can see the weight he adds is 40%. But then we'll get to environment. African environment is still very highly underdeveloped. A lot of things, so many places like here, Nepal is now. How do you deal? There is a technology for controlling your environment so that it does not limit your potential. Environment carries heavy weight. You can see 50%. You probably heard what she was saying, how Regency helped her to understand the system. Because part of environment is system. Part of the environment is prevailing law and regulations in any institution or land where you are. Part of the environment is culture. Part of the environment is association. Some people, that's what defeats them. They get into the wrong crowd. Environment is stronger than character unless you have the knowledge on how to control it. Knowledge is seed. Anytime Jesus refers to knowledge in the Bible, he calls it seed. The sower sows. But then he gave a parable to show that the ground is stronger than the seed. That if the seed is put in the wrong ground where there are tares, or the wrong ground that is hard until, that seed, the potential of the seed will be crippled. It will not produce. So we see that environment is stronger. A person can gain all the knowledge and be crippled by his environment because he didn't gain knowledge on how to handle it. The Jews, the nation of Israel, is located in a desert. They said for 2,000 years after they were sacked from the promised land till 1948 when they came back, that land refused to produce anything. The people that took over, the Arabs, gained nothing except to go and mount at their rock, that their stone at the Temple Mount. Nothing. They said the land produced nothing for them. Now, right now, Israel is exporting food to U.S. and to many other countries in the world. And so the moment the Jewish people came back to it, because biblically they used to call that the land that eats up its inhabitants. But God told them, when you go, it will be a land flowing with what? Milk. That land is one of the most powerful land. Now, I wanted to know, how do you discipline a desert to begin to yield purpose? One of my exposures, you will see, like here now, they can create a farm here, even with this floor that you have here. The Jews don't have to have soil or farmland the way you know it to create farm here. And when they get a farmland, they create first level, second level, third level. These are farms, though. You will see tomatoes, you see cabbages growing on, what is that thing called? System. Everyone says system. One of the key to dominating your environment is building systems. We'll talk about it. You know how to build and deploy systems. Let me give you an example. Let's talk about dominating distance. The distance from here to Great Britain is the same. It doesn't change. But if you use the natural things that God gave you, your two legs, to go there, this year will end, you are not yet there. Next year will end, and you are not yet there. And we may end up picking your body at Sahara Desert dead, your skeleton. You know how we used to go to Africa? We first go down to South Africa with sheep and turn at the Cape and then start and go all the way to North Africa. And when we get there, we then join the Mediterranean Sea, cross it, and then we start heading to Europe. You get to Rome, Italy, you know, Spain, and finally, if it's UK, you are going. By the time you get there, if it's a letter you wrote to your mother, or maybe it's your mother in the village that wrote to you, you are in London, and the woman is dying of sickness, and he just wants £20, £200 from you to get treatment. The letter you wrote in January will get to the woman around November. And then you will now reply, sending the £100. The £100 will get back to her by the November of the other, by whatever of the other year. By the time your letter is getting, Mama, how are you doing? I replied, I've sent you. She has been buried. The ground where they even buried her has dried. But guess what? You sit down now in an aircraft, watch a movie, drink tea, relax, go to the toilet, sleep, wake up 6 hours in London. What used to take months. The distance has not changed. What changed gave us leverage, ability to conquer is system. They have constructed transport system that goes through the air. Africa, this is where the issue, the rubber, the tire meets the road now. It's the same thing. It has to do with health. It applies to finances. It applies to church. It applies to all kinds of things. Even to the area of managing your personal home and affairs. But tonight, let's tackle clarification of vision. Let me see if I can do it fast. First of all, I'm sure you know that There's this five law basically about goal setting, and I want to just rehearse it in case somebody here is not aware of it. You know the smart goal technology, because vision must be broken down into goals, and I will show you how to do it in a few minutes. It must be broken down into goals to the point that it finally has to get to daily routine if it will ever happen. And there are seven stages of breaking it down. I will show you what it is in a minute. But let me just get this off. You know the smart goal setting technology or technique? S there means that the goal must be specific. And here we talk about not just that you be specific, you also have to express it in numbers. Mathematics is the science of precision. It gives you ability to measure something. It must be specific, unless you wouldn't know when you achieve it. We are going to win the world. That's nonsense. I'm going for 100 million souls, so I won't be able to calculate when we get there. Number two, smart. We're talking about smart. M there is, it must be measurable. You see, that's what I'm talking about. You have to use numbers. And you also have to set milestones that will help you to track it as you're going. So goal statement, answer questions like how much, how many, how will I know when I achieve my goal? That's, you have to have, milestones. You don't just set, when I get to the finishing line, I know. No, there has to be. So that at this point, we are here. Okay, we have reached 10,000. At this point, this is where we are. At this point, this is where we are. We'll get to that. And number three, SMART, S-M-A, is, it must be agreed upon. It must be agreed upon. Meaning that even if you got it from God, you have to sit down with your team and discuss it and get their consent. You know, what we used to put here is that it must be achievable. You can still use that old way of expressing A. But there's a better way, because nobody fulfills his vision alone. You're going to work with people. So you have to sit down with them and discuss it and get them to own it and achieve ownership. That way, the realization, you will get there faster. For example, in developmental programs, maybe NGOs or social, sometimes people just bring in a program to a village without consulting the people. But when you get the stakeholders and the people there, discuss, find out what they become part, they own the program. So you won't go and set up pipe bomb, they'll go and destroy, the youth will go and rip off the holes, because they see it as their own thing, not this NGO drop that thing, let's go and loot it. No. You won't have the people in the team undermining the same thing. Okay, the fourth R is that it must be realistic. The goal should be stretching. It shouldn't be what people can easily do. It should be a little above there, but it should also be what can be achieved. Also, it should be relevant to the people it's meant for. It should also be relevant to you. It should connect with your destiny, your passion. It must be realistic. That means the actions that we need to take to achieve it is something I can do. Don't go and say high jump beyond what you can. Eh? Then you try, you can't. That's why also you have to learn how to break things down. If the jump is to jump from here to that end of the world, break it into a number of steps. It might be 20 jumps that will get me there. It might be 15. So you do it like that. And those are the milestones. You set smaller goals under the big goals. You break the big goals into smaller goals. Okay. Then T is, it must be time bound. It must have a deadline. Don't set goals without time. this is the time we must achieve it. And when you break it down into a smaller group, this is also the time when this must have been accomplished. When if you leave, remove the element of time, you can flow forever and be wasting time. And your life will just be floating. That's why year in, people realize that they have not achieved anything. When I ever, you hear me say, you can never find me in 90 days, McIntyre, it's because I drive my life with goals. Okay, that's smart. That's smart. But we have now created what is called smarter goal principles. So I'm going to add the two elements more to make it smarter. Smart is good. You can work with it and you get your goals achieved. But there is smarter. The E, when you now do smarter goal approach, the E is it must be ethical. Your goal must sit comfortably within your moral compass. That you want to achieve something doesn't mean you should not go through the wrong way to achieve it. For example, let's assume you have a financial goal of creating wealth and achieving a goal of 100 million or whatever. Does that mean you should not go and break through the bank? After all, you can go gather a gang and rob a bank and achieve it the next week. Does that mean now you should not become an Abuja babe and be sleeping around with every politician? You see why we say smarter? Your goal must not compromise your higher values. Your values. And 7, the last part is that it must be resourced. Resourced. You will need to commit time. Money. Information, maybe even studies, you know, research, and then of course manpower to achieve it. You will need to make sacrifices to achieve that goal. So if you set a goal that you're not willing to make sacrifices for, you will not accomplish it. You see what the girl was saying? She kept working and she was saving. That's why people in America are busy buying things, doing all that. Now she can afford to go and buy whatever she wants. But she had something she wanted to accomplish. And working in TBN, she was saving her money. If she did not practice frugality, curtail your expenses so that you can save money to be able to get into the school. God will give her the admission, but she will not be admitted. So it's this grace working with principles to achieve your destiny. It's not just God alone. There is a part you have to play. And by the time she got in, it was exactly $6,000. And that's exactly how much she saved. That's exactly how much the school wanted. But that was able to lead her to start, whether it's the first academic year or semester. And then she had to get another job, working in the library, to be able to. And in the course of that, you see how grace now intervened with the scholarship. It must be resourced. It must be resourced. So, people who now take time to also think about, how many people do I need to get this job done? We want to reach this city. We want to start an NGO to affect the youth. But I need some people to work with. We might need a venue. This might be part of the resources. We might need to create a website. Do we really need money for this starting? Or if we do, how much? How many times in a week are we going to be meeting? How much time will it require? And then the leaders will need to be meeting to further. And when you plan like that, you can take a hold of that future you've been talking about and start driving towards it. In resource, in goal setting, in clarifying vision, you have to ask questions like, what do we need? But the first question is not really what do we need, it's what do we have? But you can also start with, what do we need? Whichever one. If you ask the question of need, you ask the question of resource that is present. What do we have? Then you ask the question, how do we balance the gap? We need venue. We need equipment. What do we have? You look inside first. You start from yourself. You are your number one resource. Then how do we balance the gap? How do we get what is missing? I need three people to help me teach this program. I'm one person, resource person. I need somebody who understands this area and somebody who understands this area, because we're going to deal with poverty. But me, I can deal with changing the mindset. Because poverty does not start with wealth creation. It starts with the mind. Changing the mindset, giving the people healthy self-esteem, helping them to get a vision. That's my part. But I need somebody who can teach entrepreneurship and teach them how to create jobs and do things. And you know, then I need another person who will teach financial management. Just three people is what I need. What do we have? I have myself. And there's this my friend. She's good with this entrepreneurial thing. So, and she just works in it. I'm going to get her now to join me. And I will share the vision. We need to do something about this community. We need to do something about the youths. When two of you now start brainstorming, two of you will find where the other third person is. There's always provision for the vision. We just need to learn how to plan. Those materials, because you need to keep doing some of these exercises. And every year, you review your purpose, you review your life goals and vision. But every 2 weeks, you review your annual goals. We'll come to that, you know. One of the source of failure in Africa is planlessness. We don't plan. We don't sit down to plan. We don't plan development. We don't plan ministries. We don't plan our lives. We don't. So I don't start planning my year in January. I don't start planning it in December. October is when I end the year. That's how I live my life. I follow that Jewish calendar thing. So I have 3 months advantage. By December, as the prayer and prophecy is finishing, I'm already running. Because the crusades have been set, venues have been booked, trainings have been, things have been set. You don't live life without plan and achieve anything serious in life. It's good to have a vision. It's the number one thing. That is your destination, a picture of your future. But a plan is a roadmap from where you are to that place. You have to plan from that vision to where you are now. And you have to plan from where you are now to that destination. It's like constructing a bridge across the river to take you to where you are going. That's what a plan is. Then a system is the vehicle that will carry you to that destination. So if you have a system, you will get there fast and achieve it. If you don't, you will be dragging. So this is how you plan your life. Number one. There are 7 stages. The first thing is your governing life values. That's the first thing you sort out. You have to sit down and write them down. But after you leave here, within the next 30 days, take a day or two and go on a retreat and clarify it well. Because some of the ones you give us here might not be fully done. Because all the things we have taught you now, if there's nothing to channel it into, there's no... You just go back and return to your normal life. So the first thing when you want to plan your life is to clearly come out with your governing values. Let me give you an example. When Joshua was 6 months, Pastor Sarah needed to go and get a master's in something, and she needed to go to UK. We had agreed that she was going to do it, but you know, we needed to wait for the baby. When the baby was 6 months, I told her, I said, you have to go. Because I want to see you with this thing in the next 1 year. This master's in this. He said, Pastor, no way. This baby is 6 months. I cannot leave this baby with my mom. I can. Why? Because one of her governing values is family. One of the core values is value for family. So because of that, somebody can throw away a whole life. If you don't have values, governing principles, you can pursue goals. You know, like when we're talking about ethical, that you have to have some things you don't do. Some things that you count very important. For example, someone like me now, family is one of it, but even at the top, it's my walk with God and the call of God on my life, the pursuit of the expansion of the kingdom of God, and a number of things, living a life that is above reproach, such things. Then also cultivating a very healthy and good family, those things. So when I want to set goals, I have to put those things, they are compass that guide me. A girl that was a bank manager, sold off everything, sold her properties in VI to go to a year. I said, why did you come here? He said, dollar. You know, there's purpose. It's different between being purpose-driven and being dollar-driven. Governing life values. What are those things that are very important? What are those core things? Sit down and write them down. So you can have a compass. Because goal is not the starting point for life. Number two. The second compass that must be there before we start goals is your purpose in life. What is it that you believe God has called you to do? You have to sit down and write it. And why you are here? Why you are here? You have to start writing those things. What is that thing? What do you believe? Maybe it's 1, 2, 3. Maybe it's just one. What is that thing you believe you are giving birth to accomplish? What is your assignment? What is the reason you are born? What is that problem you are created to solve? What is that burden God has placed in your heart that he wants you to do something about? What is that? Sit down and write it out. Now, purpose must be clear. These two first two are the compass for life. Before you start setting goals. Because you can use goal and send yourself away from your destiny. You can set go and send yourself away. If I don't have this thing, it's been long they will have removed me from Africa. At the time I was leaving school, after pioneering this NCFO and fellowships everywhere, and then we are talking about the next level, which is going to town, starting Dominion City churches and all that. I went for the conference in Benin or Idahosa, and here was our robot. And he was giving scholarships. And then it was also helping some people who want to live through the Dahosa ministry. They have this partnership. Who want to? And that night, I wanted to rush to the office to go and collect the form and fill and get myself over there. On my way to the Dahosa service, I asked myself, is God the type of person that he says one thing tomorrow, he changes his next tomorrow? God is not like us, that is like weather, flowing around. God is consistent with it. He can clarify things further. Vision can get brighter. The picture can get better. But God is not about today he's like this tomorrow. He said there is no variableness, any shadow of turning in him. He's a consistent person. Where did this confusion come now? Because you think America is heaven. You want to go and live there. On that road, I remember, you've just left school. They posted you to Sokoto to go and serve. But God told you that this is your next. Go back and face your assignments. And he said, I will finally make America your backyard. It's the way you will place value on U.S. visa that is turning your head. Listen to about me. I use my Nigerian passport. There is no nation that can reject me visa. It doesn't exist. And you know, one of the things they always see at the embassy point, how many days are you staying? 3 days. 5 days. They look at me. They say, what do you do? I say, I do national transformation. I'm going to your country because I have things to offer your nations. If you check my bag, you won't see anything. The only thing you will see is books. I'm an African, but I'm writing books now. Americans are scattering it like. I was showing them that. I said, is he not a man that lived in your country? But you don't know how he lives anymore. You see how they are rushing? You see, I'm saying, research. I do 12 research every year. I will also be honest, sometimes one or two might not be completed. So I'm looking for the raw materials anywhere I find it. God has blessed me with the gift of understanding. So what I need is the raw material is feed information. Then I process advanced knowledge from that. But if I don't study, I can't think at that next level. I have to ignite my mind first. Your life purpose, your life mission must be clearly written. You have to. You see the way we have been living, just clapping, going to church. Mm-mm. Life is lived by design. It's not by chance. That's what we're studying today, this morning. Number three. When you now have your life purpose stated, the next thing Benjamin Franklin said is that you have to now plan that purpose. It's called general planning. General planning. General planning. Sometimes we call it lifetime plan. Before we talk about long-term goals. So to achieve this thing, what and what do I need? Okay, I need to get a PhD in this. To get to this place God is talking about, I need to do this. I need to do this. I need to do this. Okay. And in this order. That's why it's general plan. The plan, write it down. That plan should be at least 20 years. So, I want you to know as I'm talking to you now, my next 20 years have been planned. And I'm not joking about it. You can't find me in a year. I don't have time to drift around. And because of intentional living, purpose-driven living, every invitation is not for me. Once invitation comes, I hear, what is it? What are we doing? I'll know whether it fits in or not. Whether it's Satan trying to cause destruction. You are talking about destinies of Africa, nation. You get my attention. That's where I'm supposed to live and die. That's why I'm alive. When we close this conference, I'm going for a conference in Abuja. It's a conference that's called All African Nations Are Represented. And it's heads of government, leaders of parastatals. You won't find a pastor there. But when I heard of it, I called our... You know, while I was in Abuja, you see, last week, they got me invitation. You saw the other time I was in Aso Rock, all those things. That's why I attend those places. There are some events I attend. When I get there, I'm the only pastor. Or maybe someone like Professor Nibogo or someone that you will find there. Because it's not the normal thing that the pastors are. You have to, what is your assignment? Now, we're going to be discussing the continent of Africa. I want to be there and see what. Next time they are discussing some of these issues like, I was sad that I did not attend the last discussion they had before Sudan got independence. Because where we discuss how to liberate a nation, those things are very important. It's beyond just reading the Bible. The children of Israel came out of Egypt. Mm-mm. A modern day, whatever is happening again, a new Exodus. I want to understand the intricacies. How the United Nations makes all those decisions. And how here in Africa we are fighting to also block. For example, now there is a problem a lot of our leaders are having with the issue in Libya. They say this too now, in about a year, where the West will come and overthrow a government in the continent. I'm talking about the one that happened in West Africa here. Cote d'Ivoire, is it not? Ouattara, is it not Cote d'Ivoire? The president was the one who called in the United Nations, invited them, that he's having this problem, to come and help maintain peace. And the United Nations helped to host him out. So African nations are saying that they can't trust UN anymore. That they found out that they play partial. For example, when David Cameron was having all the riots in London and all that, why didn't they pass a resolution to say, you have lost confidence in you? Now, I'm not supporting Gaddafi. That one is a dictator. It's a special case. But it's not only the Gaddafi issue. And I listen to the arguments. When I finish listening, then I tune in back and ask God, what is your purpose? What is your will in this issue? He tells me, I'm behind this Gaddafi must go thing. I said, but what is the overall implication? He said, but let's not clap too much because these things are paving way for end time program. Israel is later going to pay for it. Obama is not helping Israel with these policies. These things are going to finally pave out for an uprising. But before we get to that point, he said, there will be democratic government in these places that will allow freedom of expression so that the gospel will get into some of these countries. So that some of their people that have been under fear who are Christians will be free to express themselves too and ask for human rights and other things and use some of those things to defend themselves when problems start coming, persecutions. But finally, that whole thing, because Islamic groups are going to finally hijack those governments and then turn their attention on Israel. So I said, so where am I supposed to pinch my tent? He said, I'm behind that uprising. I said, so, okay. But how come now these guys will come, a man that invited them to come and help him with peace? They help arm the whatever and push him out of government. What kind of thing? And the day they brought him out from the hole underground, he was just on singlet. He's not a criminal. This is a whole president. How can an African president be humiliated like that? And this is just behind us here. Why is George Bush? I respect him, he's a brother. But why is he not facing criminal charges? With all those things he did in Iraq and some of those, where is the weapon of mass destruction? Why is Tony Blair not behind bars? Why do you have to change the rules when you are dealing with us here? Sorry, I think I should get back on this thing. So, we don't go too far. Okay, so you have to set. There are things, milestone, things that you need to achieve, and you will finally end up with that purpose delivered. You need to state some of them. Some of you are so powerful, but the milestone that will take you to what God has shown you, you have not started doing anything. I'm grateful that you are becoming mothers and raising children, but you better believe me. Life is more than that. Florence Nightingale vowed not to even get married finally, just to be a woman that saved a nation. When Europe was still going through some of the things we are going through now in Africa. Now, the advantage of getting married and having children, there's nothing wrong with that. But do you know why the Bible said they that are married should live as though they are not? Those that are in touch with the wealth of this world should look like, use it, but without it being attached to it, that we should make every time, gather as much time, redeem time, save as much to be able to give to the work of the Lord, which they translated this issue about fulfilling destiny. Okay, so after that you have long-term goals. Long-term goals should not be more than 10 years, should be a 10-year, 5 to 10 years. Some people believe it's just 5, and that might be the way to do it so that it will be clear to you, because every time you reach out to that lifetime thing, lifetime goal, and pull out some things, but within 5 years, what I'll be, where I'll be within the next 5 years. Some stretch it to 10. If you ask me, I'll tell you to plan with 5 so that it will keep you on focus. Long-term goal. Then you have mid-term goals. 3 years. 3 years. Some say 3 to 5 years. Just like the other one, 5 to 10 years. Where will you be in the next 3 years? This is 2001, 2012, 2013, by 2014. Then the next will be short-term goal, which is 1 year, 12 months. You're going to plan the next 1 year of your life and set goals. That is number 6. Short-term goal, 1 year. Then the last is, weekly and daily goals, daily routine. Because the idea is that when you set the short term goal, which is yearly, what you do is that every year you pull out from you do your long term thing 1 year down. This is what I must accomplish this year. Then out of what you have set for your year, let's assume 2011, you have to now bring down. You can even plan the months and weeks, but you have to come down to daily routine. Unless you have daily routine, things you are doing every day that is leading you to that ultimate destination, you will never get there. You see, this is what you are doing, taking steps. But you don't know after a while you have covered miles. Why people fail is that they set one high, big goal, but they don't break it down to what they are doing every day. Somebody said, I'm going to Civic Center. That's in town, Port Harcourt town. That's the goal you set for yourself. But the steps you are taking every day is taking you to Abba. That means you are heading in another direction, opposite direction. So see the way this works. Your long-term goals must be aligned to your purpose and your lifetime goal. Your short-term goals must be aligned to your long-term goals. I mean, your mid-term goals must be aligned to your long-term goals. Your short-term goals must be aligned to your mid-term goals. That's your yearly goals. And your weekly and daily routine must be aligned to your annual goals. That is what I'm doing every year must be taking me to what I'm supposed to be doing in the next 3 years to 5 years. And what I'm doing in the next 3 years to five must be taking me to where I'm going ultimately in life. Now, what this does is that this breakdown removes purpose from one thing that is in the air. Every year, I'm able to celebrate and say, you need to go and have 3 days rest. You need to go and have 1 week off in South Africa or whatever you have achieved. So you need to go to Burkina, because you will see some every year I always achieve my goals. Since I learned how to do this, and the few that I may not be able to accomplish well, I now move them into next year and then roll in some new goals from my 3 year goal, and then I fill up that year again and the journey starts. You can't find a year wasted in my life. You can't. And there's nothing like God used to use him, or he did this in the past, or that and that, and now he is redundant. No. The yesterday, after it's accomplished, I said, forget the things that are past. I look at the long. And so, take the three principles. Number one, from your purpose down to your long-term goals, down to your mid-term goals, down to your mid-term goals, must be reviewed every year. You have to create, whether it's December or beginning of the year, when you do your review. I do my own once September ending October. I start, my mind immediately goes back on my destiny. I go and get the documents out. I get new papers. I start. Sometimes there are new things I now bring in that were not there before because I've grown. Sometimes there are some things I clarify further. They become clearer because I have gained further understanding. My understanding has brightened. And I review it. And out of that review, I bring out the things I'm going to be doing for the next 1 year. Then write it down. Your annual goals, the one you do every year, must be reviewed every 2 weeks. If you write it in January and forget it, then December you go to check, you will find that most of those you have deviated. I go back to it every 2 weeks. Number three, whatever is your goal annually must be committed in prayer. Take it before the Lord and ask for his partnership. And ask him to guide you to it. Because there are resources beyond your person that he will bring that year to help you get to. Do you know sometimes a book, there is a book you sent me once. And it was something I've been crying, talking to God about. How am I going to? I don't have the knowledge. I don't have it. I don't know how to explain this. The whole answers were in that book. Sometimes it could be one resource, it could be a book, it could be one information, it could be somebody that will come and just say some things, share some things with you. It could be like this training now is a defining moment for you now. It could be God. It will instruct me to arrange a training. It might not be me. It might be another place. It will take you or your company will just decide to do something and they will just bring that thing that is missing. Because destiny is not what you're doing alone. The Holy Spirit is working with you in partnership to bring it to pass. So you see, the foundation of success is vision, values, and a plan. If you have that, then you are now ready for this. You're not ready for this. You have to now acquire the knowledge that you need. You have to build character. Let me see. I want to give you a last guideline. It's very important that you take note of that. I mentioned three already. Sure. Number four. When you have your annual goals, as you start planning daily routine, weekly activities, when you list them, there are some guidelines he gave here, even columns for planning it. You can look at that. When you start planning it, you need to now prioritize. What it means is that everything you have written now that needs to be done doesn't mean you have to do it. Delegate some of them. But in prioritize, what you do is what are the ones that I have to do. You know, so nobody can read for you. Nobody can attend training for you. The training will be in their head, not in yours. There are non-delegatable responsibilities. Like nobody can go to the toilet for you. Now, a lady was having problem because she was pursuing a PhD program, but she was crashing with family, her husband. And I sat down to talk with her. And I was able to extract something. So I invited the man. I found that the man is the type of husband that when you give him food, you have to be around while he eats it. And my own is, once the food is good, who cares whether you are in your room reading or whatever? What is my business with? But this particular man, you have to be around there. If you're not eating with him, you have to be around him. Then you'll be gisting. He will be eating the food. If you give him food, he looks for you. He doesn't find wahala. And they're having problem. And he said, Pastor, talk to him. Oh, I said, no. Since you know that this is what is causing all the unrest in your family, put it as one of those here, non-delegatable. So obviously, you got a hot serve. Even if they help you to cook the food, you have to and be there. How do you like the food? It's good. How was work today? Just do it. And that is it. No more headache. So I told her, the issue is that you have never seen it as one of your priorities. Since you need to have a successful marriage, add it. It doesn't take more than 15 minutes, whatever. Then you go and face your life. Now, why Pastor Sarah would not have to do that? She has matters of the heart somewhere. You can go. I'm fine. But when you come back, you have to be around. At least for a day or two. Prioritize. Don't go after everything. There are things other people can help you do. Delegate those ones. There are things you have to do. Focus. Because if you want to do it, then that way, you will not be able to accomplish everything. Then final advice, I will give you this. In planning your daily life, in planning daily routine, daily life, there is a mistake that most people make. And once you make it, after a while, this goal-driven life will look like prison for you. You find that somewhere along the line, you leave it. You return back to a life of indiscipline. Let me tell you what the mistake is. You don't plan more than 60% of your day. You plan 60, leave the 40 to be fluid. So that you can have life, you can have breathing, you can play when you want to play. You can also, Holy Spirit can inject some things. Don't make your life so tight. To even me that say, yeah, planner, I always leave that room. Because there is a role the Holy Spirit have. There's also other side to life. Life is not just about work and all that. There's family to enjoy. There are other spontaneities that God will sometime. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Now, when people start learning this goat thing, they will go and plan even every minute. I wake up by 5 and this and they till 1 a.m. Then there's other. After a few weeks, they are gone. They are tired of it. They feel like somebody has collected their life from them. Is this all there is to? They feel choked up to this place. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Then they give up. They give up. When you learn to plan, you can dismantle a lot of all this life. You get up in the morning, you're all here. You don't have prayer life. Children are crying. All this everywhere. Confusion. Husband is asking for his own. What is all this? And then pastor has come again. He said, ministry on top of all this wahala. That's why I will show you how to build system tomorrow. So you start flying and driving to your destination and not be trekking. Can I hear an amen? So I'll pause. I want to know what you got from that. Remember, to teach is to learn twice. To share is to learn twice. So whenever there's opportunity to say, share something, you don't know what it, when you start talking about it, it enters deeply and it gets settled. Then reputation is a law of deep and lasting impression. One of the keys, if you want to master some of this, and when you live here, find a small group of people, your proteges, you have people. And take the whole thing I've trained you and start giving it to them. It's not them that you are training, it's yourself. You are perfecting. You are perfecting and mastering the knowledge. Okay. Let me get what you have got first. If you have vision and you don't have plan, you have a destination, but there's no roadmap. There's no map. There's no there's nothing. And so you're going to be lost. That's why a lot of lives are not, nothing is happening. Next year again, you pray the same prayer. God, I will show you how to plan life improvement. That's growth in character. So you don't just get up and say, Lord, I want to be like you. I want to change. It's not enough. You will see how I grow and I get better every year. I'll show you how it's done. There is a plan. There is a system. You know, we plan on personal development, on education, on finances, and but we don't plan on growth in character. We don't set goals. I'm going to conquer, and these are the steps. Okay. Let's get some feedback. Yes, there is a lady here.
Thank you so much, Pastor, for everything you taught us. I learned that for me to fulfill my purpose and get to my destination, there are certain things I must do on a daily basis in order for me to get there. If not, it will just look so tiring for me to get there.
Success is a habit. The key to success is daily routine. It's not one big jump. Little things you do daily. Little goal. So whenever you have a big goal, break it down into smaller, down to where you are now. Then start taking the small steps. You will get there. Yes.
Pastor, I want to thank you so much because what you're sharing right now, I don't know how to express it, but I know that in January this year, we fasted for the first time because of the way the fasting was emphasized. You know, we've been fasting all the other years, but this year we fasted. So after the fasting and everything, I was like, God, somewhere last year, I became uncomfortable. I was dissatisfied with my life. But January this year, I actually fasted. I was like, God, this is it. Something just has to happen. After the fasting happened, and I started asking God, we fasted, we've sown seed, we've done everything, and we've prayed. Is the breakthrough? And one of the days, I entered Tuesday meeting, and that day you were talking about planning, and it was like a cobweb was removed from my brain, and you were talking about the daily goals. So I went back that day. I planned, I broke my year annual goal into daily goals. And another day, I was supposed to come for Tuesday meeting, but something happened. I couldn't come. I was just at home. And somebody said to me, one of the things you said in your daily goal is start sharing your business cards every day. Give out 5 business cards. And around 10 a.m., I just left the house and said, okay, my husband was at home. Let me just go out and give out 5 business cards. You know, it was just around my house I went. And in giving out those 5 business cards, I met 2 contacts. When I came back, I just fell down and started crying. I just started weeping for myself. I started weeping. I had to call Pastor. I was like, Pastor, what is this? What is happening to us? We have everything. Why are we not achieving? And I want to thank you, Pastor, because these things are so real. We have everything. We've been like, how do we achieve these things? They are there, but how do you achieve them? And this is it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, yes.
Thank you very much, sir. And thank you again for liberating me, especially. You know, this is the first time I'm really looking at this matter goals. And one very important thing that you have taught me today is that right from the beginning, I thought, okay, maybe when I do my goals and I now put them into work plans and I look at the resources. But today you've taught me again that even before you start breaking it out into activities, ask yourself, what do you have? Who is going to do this with me? Who am I going to network with? What are the resources that are available to me to be able to do this? And one great thing you have done for me today, sir, is to tell me that I should leave 40% of my time free. You know, whenever I'm doing a consultancy and I have a deadline, I always tell them, call me. Just keep calling me. Because I always used to think that I do better when I am under pressure. So if I need to deliver in 2 days, then I stay awake for 2 nights and I bring your paper and I put it on the table. But that's the wrong way to work. Because by the time I finish delivering, I have crashed and every other thing I have lined up are gone. So when I come for meetings like this before now, I line up so many things. In fact, I use like 110% of my day and add things to them. By the time I start, you just start running. And in 3-4 days, the steam is going. Before you know it, you just wonder where everything you plan to do went to. So I want to thank you very much, sir, for giving this leeway, 60% and then 40% to adjust every other thing. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. You know, if you live in organized estate, you buy land, they say it's 900 square meters. You think because you bought it, you go and carry building and dump on 900. No. They will tell you, you don't develop more than this. You don't develop more than 60% of this space. I say, it's my land. How can you be telling me what I should develop? I want this big house. I say, no. You have to leave that space for flowers. You have to leave these setbacks. You have to leave the, and if you do, bring the building down. Now, that's how it is with your life. There is God in your life. There are other people. There are spontaneity. You are a person on assignment. There are things that could come up and it might be the breakthrough you have prayed for. The Holy Spirit brings it, but you are already choked up because there is no room for. Now, for example, now this training could have come, but you can't because you're already choked up. And then something that God has planned, He needs to deliver to you. You can't get it. You know, in Africa, we don't know the value of flowers, lawns, trees, all that. If we are doing an estate, you see the Jewish people, they leave a place for playground. We sell all those places, put buildings in all of them. Even the street, we make it narrower so that even 2 cars will be struggling to pass. Because this is land, this is money. How can we leave it? The recreational places is not important. No. No. When you see people who have seen visions of heaven, they'll tell you sometimes there's worship, sometimes Jesus is playing with children. So you say, so this man, the world is perishing, you have time to play even. And me, that he has assigned, is becoming more Catholic than the Pope. How can you be more Catholic than the Pope? So by the time I don't even have a worship life again. I don't have a prayer life again. Family is to now sit down with the children and play or look into their. I don't, because I'm pursuing goals. No. And the moment you crash your health, for example, they give you a bed, you have time for. All the goals hangs. That's why it's important to have values. It's important to also have higher before you get to goals. So if health, living health is important to you, put it there. That your health and exercising and doing that is so that, because you can plan yourself out of even time to take a walk.
Thank you very much, sir. You've done digital deliverance to me. This one is more than... One of the things I learned this evening is to review your annual goal every 2 weeks. Because I actually told myself this is one thing you've not been doing. Because if you do it like that, you can actually checkmate your mistakes, where you're, if you're not meeting up. But a lot of times, we'll set goals, we'll come for prayer and prophetic, we'll set annual goals. You know, we leave it. The next time you look at it, it's December again, and you realize you didn't do anything. Set another one. So it taught me that if I actually... if I actually review my goals every 2 weeks, I can tell myself, you are sleeping, wake up on time before December catches you. Thank you very much, sir.
God bless you. That thing, that reviewing it, is a job of brake and steering. That the car will not drift off the road, it keep it back, and it keeps going. You know, because there's nothing as sad as I've left the track long, only to realize December, when you're supposed to be doing annual review now, and I look back to realize that you have not followed this roadmap or road. You know, everywhere was bush. You constructed road. You said this road is from Port to Lagos. It's for me to drive on. You have left road since you are now in bush and you clearing trees and forest. Because the way life is that there will be activities to seek to fill up your time. So life is by design, is deliberate. You have to carve out what it is that you fill out that time. Yeah, you want to say something? Yes, please.
Pastor, thank you too, sir. And I also want to thank you, Chika. Pastor, you said something. You said that the Christian life requires self-cancellation. And she came up this evening and she read that scripture about the woman that had that issue. And that Jesus did not wait for the Sabbath before he brought the healing. Because of the sense of urgency, it was something that needed to be tackled at that moment if she was going to maximize her life. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is because of what you have said. And we are women. And our emotions always get in the way. And she read that scripture. Now, if we don't consciously work on our emotions as women, this conference will be a waste, a total waste for us. Because we can leave this place tonight and somebody can just say something that can set us back to where we're just coming from. So it has to be a conscious effort. We must fight it, gain control of our emotions so that we will be able to do this thing.
Now, that is the knowledge. But everything now you learn for now, listen, or build a system that keeps you in that stuff. System is very important, because once you build it, it reinforces both the knowledge, both the character, and those decisions, and helps you get there.
Pastor, you know, when you say that we are God's last hope, and for the you know, this end time, the state of our nation, the state of Africa, somehow is big. And I'm like, where do you start? You know, it's bigger. I get lost. But when Chika was talking this evening, I said in this short while that she took this decision and started from somewhere, see how fast she has. She's already impacting the nation. She's already impacting the continent. So for me, it's like that whole space has been narrowed down. I can actually do something about the state of my nation.
Powerful. That's why one example is worth more than 1,000 sermons. And when you become one, that's how I'll be bringing you, to be showing you. There are other people that are dragging, are still thinking this thing is, we'll see it. Just one Joshua that said, we've gone to that land, we've brought this fruit, can make a whole generation possess a promised land. One Caleb. One bad example, too, is also as dangerous as, because they discourage more people.
Have you been impacted by this message? Please share your experience with Pastor David Ogbeli. Email address dominionimagemedia@yahoo.com or call 01792-6879, 0803-435-7959, 0803-590-9900.